So another thing that I really love about you is that you really put on as far as wanting diversity and wanting to see different types of people in wrestling and really standing up. You know, you and I and Tevin had a conversation some months ago about Black Lives Matter and like just that whole Black Lives Matter and that whole sphere in the world of professional wrestling. How important is it to you personally to be a part of something that's diverse?
I mean, it's very important to me because, like I said, Booker T was my inspiration to get into wrestling. What if Booker T would have never got into wrestling? Would I be, I don't know if I would be a wrestler now. Like, yeah, RVD was a favorite, but RVD didn't inspire me to get into wrestling. He just did cool stuff, and I like seeing him do cool stuff. Booker T's struggle is what made me want to get into wrestling. What if he would have got out of prison and did some dumb shit and went back in? We would have never heard of Booker T. Unless you lived in Texas, you would have just heard it. You would have just known him to be a criminal. So if I would have never seen Booker T, there would have been a strong possibility that I just would have been just watching wrestling just for the hell of it, just to be entertained. Not to be entertained and then eventually be inspired.
Right.
So it's like Booker did that for me, and I like wrestling. And when I first started training and then wrestling those first few years, I didn't look at myself as like a role model or some type of inspiration. But there'll be times where I'll do a show and I'll get ready to leave the show. And something that I did, I might see a young black kid in the ring practicing that. Like this one move I used to do a cartwheel in Zagiri. I stole it from Low Key. He does his cartwheel with somebody's in the corner, and then like one motion out of that cartwheel, he'll leap and in Zagiri them, kick him straight in the face. So my fat ass started doing that just because I thought it was cool. And I'm like, hey, this will be a cool thing to do. And everybody's going to like it. After about several months of doing that at Pro South, it was this one kid. I guess he was a baseball player. I don't see him anymore. But when he was coming to the show, I don't know who brought him to the show. There'll be times that he'll get dropped off. There'll be times he'll come with an adult. But one night, he was waiting on somebody to come pick him up. So they was like, hey, man, you can go chill in the ring. You can stay out here and chill if you want to. But somebody gave him permission to go in the ring. So when I went to the concession to give me a water, I seen he kept doing a cartwheel. He kept doing cartwheels around the ring. I'm like, why the fuck is he doing a cartwheel? So then I ain't think nothing about it. I'll just leave. But then that next week, Amy goes, hey, you know, there's this one kid that's been trying to do that cartwheel kick you've been doing. And I'm like, what? It was like, yeah, it's that kid that shows up in a baseball attire sometimes. And I'm like, oh, I know who you're talking about, you know. But then I'll see him, and the way he kept doing a cartwheel, he kept trying to angle it from a cartwheel to the corner. Like, he'll complete the cartwheel, but he wouldn't do the kick motion after that. He'll just cartwheel from one side of the ring to the other to see how much space he could cover. That's when I started recognizing, like, oh, so people actually pay attention. Then I did this show in Meridian, Mississippi about 2 years ago. Me, Sean Christopher, we went and had a match over there, and he brought his friends Jackson Trickster. So going into the show, I was the SCPW heavyweight champion, which is one of those shows. Somewhere in bumfuck Alabama, wherever it's at now. They change location like every 2 years. And Sheen had just got the Pro South title. So the promoter just had us advertised as just a man. He's been paying attention to the internet.
Right.
And he's an old school guy. An old school guy paying attention to the internet? What the fuck? So he messaged me. He goes, hey, I see both of you guys are champions at whatever promotion. I don't want there to be a winner. Y'all go to a 10-minute Broadway. I was like, okay, we can do that. Me and Sheen had just finished our feud at Pro South. So we take it to Mississippi, Meridian, Mississippi.
Never wrestled in Mississippi before up till this point. So I'm thinking it's just another bumfuck town full of white people. Maybe one black person in the crowd. Maybe not. I might just be the only black person in the building. I don't know.
Ooh.
But I get there. Matter of fact, when I got in the area, I was like, why does it look like I'm in a hood, but it's kind of clean? So we get to the building, which was literally right beside the hood. And I'm like, the GPS says we're here, but this don't look like no gym. It wasn't a gym. It was like one of those places where they have like plays and shit at. They just had a ring set up on the inside. But from the outside, the door was so dark, we couldn't see. So I was like, hold on, I'll be back. I'll go take a peek. I go look in. Then I walked in. And I seen the ring was set up. You know, they were finishing setting up the music stuff. So I'm like, okay, we're in the right spot. I go get dressed, set up my merch table, but I don't come out until my match. Because I was working heel. And like I said, the dude was an old school dude. So he's like, hey, set up your merch table, but set up on the other side of the building away from the baby faces.
Yeah.
And then the locker rooms were separated. So Sean is like on the other side of the building. I'm on one side of the building, and we had the text to match to each other, which was the weirdest shit ever. Oh, we had a call to match via text message. Because when crazy. I got there, when they got there, the doors was about to open in like 10 minutes. So they opened doors, they're breaking in the crowd, and what I didn't realize was I knew the show was a fundraiser, but I didn't realize it was a fundraiser for an AAU basketball team. You know, too many white kids don't play basketball. So it threw me off when I heard AAU basketball. Right. And I'm like, the fuck? And I'm like, hold on, AAU basketball, and we're right beside the hood. What the fuck is going on? So finally, when I came out the locker room, I just see people jigging to the music. And then there's like other people. You got your typical wrestler fans, they trying to boo because they see me come out the heel locker room. You got everybody else that's confused because they're like, hey, we didn't know there was another black guy here. And now I'm confused because I'm looking around. I'm like, where the fuck are the white people? I see nothing but black folks here. This was strange to me. I'm like, there's no white people. Oh, there they go. It was like 20 of them sitting in one area. And I'm like, oh, there's the white people. But damn, it's a lot of black people here. This is amazing. I want to say dude probably drew like close to 200 people. And it was like 85% black, which made me extremely happy.
Damn.
So, right. So here I am coming out as a heel, and people are confused because they're like, first of all, we didn't even know there was another black dude here. Second of all, he's a fucking heel. And so we're not going to boo this dude. But the 20 people in that back corner over there are booing me. Those are the only people that's trying to boo. So I'm like trying to heel and trying not to. So I'm trying to play character, and people don't know what to do. So then
I can't lie. I can't lie, bro. I get the same way. If I'm like, if I'm in a show and I'm one of the few black people like in the crowd, and I see somebody black come out, even if they heel, part of me is like, oh, okay. I know I'm supposed to boo this dude because he a heel, but I'm one of the only black people in the crowd, and he one of the only black people on the card. So I kind of, you know, like I've said it before. There have been times where me and Tevin, you know, we've been the only black people in the building, period. Man. We've been the only, like, the only black fans. There's no black people on the card. There's no black people working concession. Like, me and Tevin have been the only black people in a building filled with maybe 300 people. So
I know that feeling.
That's crazy to me to think that, like, most of the crowd is black. That's why I was like, damn, like, that's crazy.
Right. Right, 85% black. Right, and kind of, and it was just everybody was here to support a wrestling show that's supporting an AAU basketball team. So it's like all I heard was wrestling show Meridian Mississippi fundraiser. So when I heard fundraiser, I'm like, hey, we're going to get paid, right? Because you know some promoters, some of them are sketchy. So it was like, yeah, y'all gonna get paid well. And we did. We got paid well. We didn't even talk about the price. Dude just paid us well as hell. So go out, get ready to wrestle the match. It's 85% black. Me and Sean are wrestling, and the crowd is split. Because it's like, man, I want to make some good merchandise money, and I got to do my job as a heel, but I don't want to heel all the way. So I kept it at a level one. And me doing that, the crowd was split. Some people wanted me to win. Some people wanted Sean to win. Because we're doing it. And we're doing stuff. So me and Sean went from doing the typical babyface heel shit to just running random ass spots. Then when I start whooping his ass, that's when the people that was behind him goes, okay, we want this dude to come back now because dude is kicking his ass. And I'm just doing my martial arts shit, hitting him with slams and all types of other shit. Then Sean starts running circles around me because he's agile. So we played to where I really couldn't catch him. So once he started running circles around me, that's when he starts hitting me with shit. So we going back and whatever, run out of time. And I remember the promoter saying, hey, when y'all run out of time, hold each other hands and shake off. But when he walks away, hit him with the belt. And that'll be your heat there. And I'm like, okay, cool. Well, that'll be the one thing they'll be mad at me about. So I'm like, damn, we ran out of time. Sean goes, well, at least it was a good match. So we shake hands, roll each other hand, yada, yada, yada. He took a step forward and I blasted him with my belt in the back of the head. Then I left. People was mad as fuck. Those people was pissed, man. Those people was pissed. And I was like, damn, guess I ain't going to sell no merchandise. But then I go to my merch table later on and shit. It's like a bunch of kids coming over, want to take pictures and shit, buy shit and whatnot. That was probably like the most pictures I ever taken at a show. So I'm like, man, this is dope that it's a lot of black people here. So that's what I'm mainly amazed by. And I'm just sitting here just talking to my mom like, yo, I ain't never thought I'll see this many black people at the indie show. She was like, shit, me neither. I thought we was going to be the only ones in the building. Then at the end of the show when everybody left, that's when one of the dudes came and added me on Facebook. So I'm thinking he's just like a teacher or a parent or some shit. Or some type of businessman. But come to find out, it was this dude named James Carter. And he's like one of like the main people in the black community there. So a lot of people look to him for shit. For like events and whatnot. And it caters to like the youth. He's big on the youth. Looking out for the youth. Every once in a while, we'll talk about shit. And the first time he hit me up. He was like, hey, man, I was part of putting a fundraiser together for a wrestling show. I mainly did it because my son likes wrestling. So I was just trying to bring something different to the city. And I just highly appreciate that you came. And I'm like, man, I'm glad that I came. I wasn't expecting 85% of the fucking crowd to be black.
Right.
Blew my mind. Yeah, blew my mind. I was like, I was able to perform in front of a 85% majority black crowd. And then dudes hits me with the, man, you just don't know what you just did for the youth. And I was like, well, what did I do? He was like, you just influenced at least 30 kids that there's something outside of football and basketball and track.
Right.
Blew my mind when he said that. And I was like, damn, I didn't think of that. Because black folks really don't look at wrestling like that. Like they do, but they really don't care much about it. They'll just have their favorites, but then eventually they stop watching.
Yeah,
and
because
then they just go with the whole, I remember this and that when I was little.
Because it's so, you know, for so long in this business, black people have just been goofy. You know what I'm saying? Or black people have been, like, almost like the Booker T situation. Like, you get right there and then, nope, nothing. You know what I'm saying? That's why it was such a big deal when Kofi Kingston won the WWE title. That's why, like, this year it was such a big deal and people made such a big hoopla about the fact that Rich Swann and Chris Bay were fighting for the Impact title in the main event. Like, that's, I still never, like, fact-checked it, but even to think, like, that's crazy to think that there have only been two times in written wrestling history for a major promotion where two black men were in the main event of a pay-per-view for the main title. That's only happened twice in a major promotion in this country. So it's like, you know, yeah, like, we're about to be in 2021, but it's so, you know, like, that even to me, I still have not, I don't think I've ever seen a crowd that was majority black on the indies and the mainstream, period. I don't think I've ever seen a crowd that was majority black. And you certainly don't see cards where the majority of the performers are black. So I think
you don't see that often.
Yeah, like, so I think, and that's, see, that's why I talk about Pro South like I do. For example, with this storyline that they had leading up to the anniversary show of Towers versus Silva versus Trevor. You know what I'm saying? I promoted that, and I was on my show, and I was like, this is a big deal, because you don't see this really on any level, that these three black men have the opportunity to go on and be champion. Like, there are three black men in this position. We're lucky if we get one. So to have three, you know, I try to shout it out when I can. Like, I changed my Facebook header to WWE last night because a lot of their champions are black right now. You know what I'm saying? With both of their tag champs, the U.S. champ, now the Intercontinental champ, Sasha Banks, like, they have a bunch of black champions. I'm going to, I'm gonna put it over when it's supposed to be put over. But the thing I think is, so many people have gotten caught up in diversity as a buzzword versus an actual thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I have a thing now. If I don't see any black people on your card, I'm probably not going to come to the show. I'm probably not even going to watch it. I can't even hold you. Because what's the point? If I can't see myself, my niece, I don't know if she still does, because I haven't, like, talked to her about it in a while, but she went through a little phase here recently where she loved wrestling. And of course, me being the only wrestling lover in my family, I'm like, oh shit, this is, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh shit, I'm hyped. Like, me and my niece get to sit down and watch shit. But it was important to me. Like, she would watch Alexa Bliss, and I wouldn't deter her from that. But I would also ask her, have you heard of Sasha Banks? You know what I'm saying? Like, have you heard of Bianca Belair? Yeah. Do you know who they are? I just wanted to make sure that, yeah, you can watch whatever you want to watch. But make sure, like, my thing was, and I told my sister this, I said, I want her to make sure that she's watching people who look like her, too. Because I don't want her to get this false sense of, this is all there is. It just so happened that me growing up watching wrestling, I ended up seeing the people who look like me, and they stood out. You know what I'm saying? Obviously not Rey Mysterio, but Rey Mysterio is fucking fire, so... You know what I'm saying? As a kid watching Rey Mysterio, late 90s, of course you're going to love him. But then, like I said, I also went straight towards Mark Henry and Ron Simmons. APA is probably my favorite tag team of all time. And I'm almost certain 85% of that is because Ron Simmons was a fucking badass. And then Mark Henry, being who he was, even during the Ruthless Aggression era, during those years where I didn't really watch, I tried to make it a point to keep up with Mark Henry. Because the Hall of Pain, like, that shit was dope. And me being a bigger dude, you know what I'm saying? And wanting to be a wrestler, I'm looking at these bigger dudes. I'm looking at the Mark Henrys. I'm looking at the Ron Simmons. Who else? Viscera, who, Big Daddy V, but I know him as Viscera.
I know exactly what Viscera is. I do not call him Big Daddy V.
Yeah, like,
if somebody say Big Daddy V, I'm probably gonna go blank. But you say Viscera, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, like, I know, you know, Viscera, and then of course, because I love women's wrestling, so to look at women's wrestling, and it's like, oh, well, Jordan, who do you love as far as women's wrestling? Yeah, I love Trish and Lita and all that, but Jacqueline and Jazz. What? And then
I've always liked Jazz.
Jazz.
Growing up, I could not hate Jazz. Even though Jazz was like the heel of the women's division, I couldn't hate Jazz, man. She was so badass. Like, she'll just walk in and just start whooping everybody's ass. I'm like, God damn, man. It's like, looking at Jazz, it's almost like seeing my mom just walk in and just beat the fuck out of people.
Exactly.
Because, like, My mom is aggressive like that. Like, I don't see my mom just swing on people, but it's like, I can see that. I can see my mom doing that.
So you
it's
know like just she had to.
Because sometimes you just gotta make people feel you. And that was Jazz. Just walk in, beat your ass and leave. It's like, I used to like Trish too, but I'm like, damn, Trish, how much you gonna let Jazz whoop your ass?
That's exactly the same reason why I love Jash. Cause my mom is aggressive like that too. She ain't gonna fight you off rip, but you ain't gonna punk her. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
To see Jazz and then see Jack, like I always talk about Jacqueline too, because her Jacqueline, honestly, she was probably a better wrestler than most of the men on the roster at the time.
I agree.
So that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that's why in today's world, especially with all this good black talent just in the Southeast, you know what I'm saying? Like, we ain't even got to talk about like Texas and the West Coast and up North. I'm talking strictly in the Southeast. That's why I hate to see these cards and there's no black people on the card. I'm like, how? How is there no black person on your card at all? Like,
Because outside of the Southeast, you know, it's normal to see black people on the card and diversity and all this other stuff.
Yeah, we just had Black Wrestlers Matter, an all-black wrestling show. I think that might have been the first time I seen that. And then we also had For the Culture. AJ Gray had For the Culture at the Collective this year. So that's two all-black, but to me, you know, and I said that in my rant that I posted this past week as well. Like, yeah, we have these moments, you know, we have this show. And then, yeah, Kofi won the WWE title. But for me, as a black man in this business, I look at it and say, we shouldn't just have moments. This shit should just be normal.
Yeah.
Because black people are out here really killing shit. Like, black people are really out here, and it's not just black people. I say black people, but obviously it's not just black people. You know, because I can go 40 days and 40 nights talking about LGBT wrestlers as well. But, you know, specifically for this conversation, like, black people be out here, and black people are so diverse. There's so many different types of black wrestlers in the business, in the Southeast. That's why it bugs me for people to be like, hey, Jordan, you want to come to this show? Or, hey, Jordan, you know, I would love it if you talked about our show on your show. And I don't have any problem doing that. But when I look at your show and I don't see any black people, it's like, well, damn, like, why? You know what I'm saying? Like, you couldn't call nobody? It wasn't nobody you could have called to get
off. Nobody can call. See, this is why I credit Ace for like shit like this. Like, cause nowadays the diversity shit nowadays is a fucking trend and it's annoying. Yeah. But 6 years ago, five, 6 years ago when I was training at Pro South, I was just training and I was also wrestling under that mask and fatigues. That was around the time I had just met Trevor Aeon for the first time. And it was like, nobody in Georgia was really giving Trevor a chance. And for Pro South to be the show that it is, it's like, hey, come here, come find your character, but I'm going to put a microphone in front of you every week so you can figure out who you are. So this was like early 2015 when he did this. Every week he'll put a microphone in front of him. He'll just throw him in a ring with somebody. Trevor have a dope-ass match with him. He'll work character, work skills, and all that other shit. By the end of that, by the time Havoc of that year hit, Trevor was champion. He had got the belt off Damian Serratone. By the time December hit, which was the anniversary show, the main event was Trevor and Big Toon. And I never brought this up, but I remember Ace was having a rant about promotion. He was like, promotion, promotion, promotion. And then it somehow changed to race. And he was like, yada, 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 I'm sick of all these shows. You got all these different black people trying to find places of work, and all these shows won't give them a chance, and yada, 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 yada. That's why I push the shit out of this show, because the main event is two black dudes fighting for the main title. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
God damn. Like, God, now, this was Ace talking. This wasn't another black dude. This was Ace. This was 5 years ago, before this diversity thing became a trend. And he was having a rant. He was having a rant about diversity not being in wrestling.
I told somebody recently, I was like, because I had just, this was like just a few days ago, I had just finished talking about the anniversary show. And then Amy and Pro South had started promoting the show for the first. And the first two matches was what? Towers versus Ben Buchanan. And then David right. Ali versus Eric Silva. And I'm like, see, this is what the fuck I'm talking about. And I told my homie, I was like, I'm going to fuck around here and low-key end up becoming a Pro South review show. But what do you want me to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you... There are people out there who listen to my show, and I don't even have to be in the room to know when a conversation is being had. Some people are having conversations about why am I only talking about Pro South as far as in this area, or why am I showing love to? And because it ain't no bullshit. Pro South ain't being diverse just to get people to like them. It's genuine. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. I can look at this card and say, oh yeah, because it'd be different. If you're not being genuine, that means that you're just going to hire any old black person, and it's only going to be one black person, and then you're going to say, hey, look, I have a black man on the card. No, that's bullshit. And you know, you and I and Tevin talked about this months ago when I praised Pro South then, and it's the exact same thing today. The reason I give Pro South so much love and I praise them so much is because they recognize, Ace and Amy both recognize that there's a lot of black talent that just are not being utilized. And for me, it's like, I'm not saying I won't talk about your show, but I'm saying if you have more than one black person on your card, it's more than likely I'm going to give you a better look. You see what I'm saying? So,
right.
My whole time in this business, I've been accused of a whole lot of shit. That's one thing I will say is absolutely true. I do show favoritism to people who have more diverse cards. That's just what I do. You know what I'm saying? But the good thing about it is, this is my shit. Ain't nobody paying me. So, exactly. I can do what the fuck I want to do. And as long as I see that it's genuine, as long as I see that you're actually trying to be diverse and not just lip service of, oh, well, let's go ahead and book a black guy so Jordan can talk about our show. Because some of y'all listening to this, y'all have done that. I see what you're doing. Even when it was marking out, some of y'all only book black people so that me and Tevin could talk about your show. And you're still doing it now. It's bullshit. Stop that bullshit. I'm not going to force anybody to book anybody. But I'm saying, for me in particular, as a black man, I talked about this with Skrilla. I have a platform to put black wrestlers on. Why would I not take the opportunity to do that? There are plenty of white wrestlers. There are plenty of straight wrestlers. There are plenty of men wrestlers who I love. But if I have the opportunity to put these other people on who may not be as known for one reason or another, why would I not do that? With the big project, you know, the one that I've talked to you about before, that's the whole goal of that. You know what I'm saying? The exact same thing. If I have the platform to put people on, why would I not do that? For anybody listening who may want to know why I shout out Pro South so much in particular, that's why. Because it's genuine with Pro South.
Yeah. Pro South, at one point, that's why I fuck with Pro South and New Era Wrestling the way that I do. Because it's like, it's not a trend with them. This is just something that they just do because it's natural to them. At one point in time, it was Robert Gibson's APCW over here in Douglasville because he had a lot of black trainees. It's just, you won't see that many black people on his card because, well, his card is just strictly his trainees. So they either train with him, used to train with him, or they no longer train with him. So if you don't see that many black people on this card, then it's because they moved on. But like New Era and like Pro South, like it's always been genuine with them. Because it's like, I never brought it up to Ace when he went on that rant of like diversity in wrestling. He brought that rant up. Matter of fact, the conversation might have started with, you know, I might have been talking about somebody or a promotion, and that's how he went on that rant on like how bullshit it was. I was talking about Friday not being on a certain card, and Ace was like, yeah man, that's bullshit. He's like the number two babyface there. Why the fuck is he not on a fucking flyer? That doesn't make any sense. You got all these good black wrestlers that's just trying to find platforms. Shows won't give him a chance.
But then people wonder why I push the shit out of this anniversary show that's coming up with Trevor and Tomb as the main event for our major title. Like, what the fuck? Why the fuck would I not do that? It was like, imagine the eyes. Imagine the reaction when enough eyes gets like peeps that out. When they actually look at that. When they actually see that. And then you got New Era Wrestling, Bubba Kegel's promotion. It ain't just black people there. It's like, you go there, white people are the minority. And it's crazy. In a locker room, it is. It's crazy. Because you might be like four or five white people. Like, Bubba, he's native. Takuri and Garuda, you know, they're Hispanic.
Yeah.
At one point in time, Hispanics was the majority of that locker room. Blew my mind. That was the first time I seen like 9 or 10 Hispanics in one locker room. And what was it? Me, Pryor, Towers, and Silva were like the only black people. I know it was us four. It might have been Cassandra. Maybe it was Cassandra. But I know at one point in time, it was like a larger number of black people in the locker room. The next show was a large amount of Hispanics. I want to say like after like my fourth or fifth show being there, white people just turned to the minority in there.
And that's like...
This is wild.
That's the crazy thing. Because I can look at certain people. I ain't calling nobody out in particular. I'm just saying you can look at certain people and see that they are actively working against the diversity. And my thing is, listen, book who you want to book. It's your business. It's your show. Do whatever the hell you want to do. For you to complain that there is little to no growth within your business, and then every single card is white and men. I mean, what, you know what I'm saying? Like, what? The only way you grow that's the thing. We're talking about black people, but there are plenty of Hispanic wrestlers in this area.
Plenty of
who
them.
Are fantastic.
Plenty of them,
and don't get nearly enough shine. For that particular reason. I'm sick of seeing it, and I'm sick of asking people to do something about it, and I'm sick of, you know, writing these promoters. Like, bro, if people knew just how much, when I was working directly with promotions, and people would ask me, there's some people y'all, like, nobody even knows that I worked with a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And people would ask me, who do you think we should book? It was always somebody black. I was always, man, Towers is out here killing it. Aaron Black is killing it. Brandon Watley is one of the hardest workers I've ever seen. I love Eric Silva. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was always named Ruthless Lala, Mike Cobb, Caden Say. I was always trying to put us on. So when I say, like, I've seen people work against it, that ain't just some bullshit theory. I've watched people work against it. And it's not people who are going to listen to this are going to think I'm talking about a certain promotion that I was known to work for. That's not who I'm talking about. But I have seen people actively go against, well, who do you want to see, Jordan? This person, that person, da 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 da. And then they never get booked. So I'm just saying it's, and you know, there was this whole conversation a few months ago, which kind of sparked my idea for the big project. And then there was a conversation on Twitter a few nights ago about how, you know, black people primarily watch the NBA and AEW did a bad job of not promoting their black talent to keep that. It is what it is. Like I said, I'm to the point now where I'm not going to ask anybody anymore. Don't, you know what I'm saying? If you ask me, I'm going to suggest black people, but I'm not going to go to these promoters anymore and say, hey, can you, you know, think about booking this person or that person and only suggesting black people. I'm just going to do what I can do. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm doing with this podcast. That's what I'm doing with the big project. That's the whole focus. That's the whole goal.
It just doesn't make any sense that diversity should be a common sense thing. It's not the 50s, it's not the 60s, it's not the 70s. All right? The second that Ron Simmons won that world title in the 80s, you know, that broke the glass ceiling for black folks. That's what did it for us.
But even if you that particular video, because I love Ron Simmons, so I've seen that video like hundreds of times now. But to watch that video, my eyes always land on one person. And that's that black kid who ran down to the front during that pin. And Ron Simmons got that three count. And I thought that kid was going to shoot through the freaking moon. He jumped like so high with excitement. And it was a black kid. And I was like, see, this is what's so crazy. Like, how can you watch this video from what, 30, 35 years ago, however long, and not see how important it is today in 2020, going into 2021, that these people see some diversity. These people look at these shows and say, oh, snap, there's, you know, and I've seen it happen this year. I've seen some black wrestlers post this year about how this one black kid or these two black kids in the crowd came up to them after the show and loved on them. And I, you know, me and Tevin have experienced that. You know, Tevin tells his story all the time about how when we were doing Marking Out, obviously we were doing our thing, but one day he went into Walmart and two black kids stopped him and knew who he was. And they knew who I was. You know what I'm saying? And it was important to them that they seen two black people. So when I talk about booking black people, I don't necessarily even mean just wrestlers. There are black ring announcers. There are black managers. There's black commentary people. There's, you know what I'm saying? Like, there are so many black people out here doing things. Black backstage interviewers. There are so many black people out here in this business doing so many different things. When I say you don't have any black people, that's what I mean. There was no black people. You couldn't find a black wrestler, a black manager, a black ring announcer. You couldn't find a black backstage interviewer. You couldn't find a black commentator. You couldn't find anybody black to come into this show at all. You couldn't find any women to come into this show at all. But again, women, much like Hispanic people, women is, that's a whole nother subject. I can go on for days about that as well. But
man, it just kills me, man, because it was like one Pacific show out there in Mississippi I used to love going to. And it was like, so I started going there, and it's like, it was another black dude there. You really couldn't tell because he had a white mom and a black dad. So he's like kind of light, but it's like, but he's black at the end of the day. But it's like, you know, he's there, but I didn't understand why he wasn't on the flyer for every show. If I'm on a show, I'm automatically on a flyer. And I wasn't even there that often. But he's there every Saturday. This is a weekly Saturday show. He is there every Saturday. He might be on the flyer here. He might be on the flyer there. But he's not on every flyer. And then the last time I was there, I wrestled him. And he was their mid-card champion. So that's like, that was their number two babyface. That should have been their top babyface, to be honest. Right. Because he was better than the main champion. But he was the mid-card champion, and when that flyer broke out, he wasn't even on the flyer. I was on the flyer, but he wasn't.
So as a champion, wasn't even on the flyer.
Yeah, he wasn't on the flyer every show. And it was, and I'm like, what the fuck? Well, that's insane. But because of how well they treated me, I was thinking about getting some of the homies from Alabama and coming to the show. And it was going to be some of the black homies. It was going to be, let's see, it was going to be Averson, Pryor, Smooth, Brandon Cash, Daryl Shaw if he was down, Amon Toussaint if he was down. I had already had in mind, like, people I was going to try to, like, talk to and bring to the show. Because it was, like, the promoter like me, the locker room like me, like, I was like, like, I would get a reaction from the crowd. If I'm a babyface, I'm loved. If I'm a heel, I'm hated. But I was going to try to have some homies come and be on the show just to add more black people to the show. Even though they got one dude right there that's there every week, and he ended up becoming a mid-card champion. Should have been a main champion. But I think he was still kind of green, so they wasn't ready for that yet. Because I remember at one point in time, he was a security guy. But then several months later, he's wrestling. So maybe they just wasn't ready for that yet, ready to put the belt on him yet. But at the same time, can you really use that as an excuse? Because UConn Jack did that with Luther X.
UConn is really good about that. UConn, yeah, he's UConn really good about really good about like colorblind booking. If he likes you, he's gonna book you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it was like I almost used that as an excuse, but then I had to catch myself because that's when I remembered Luther X wasn't even wrestling that long. Matter of fact, Luther X, I want to say Luther X won that title, the Rocket City mid-card belt, and the ASW mid-card belt, and he wasn't even a year in yet.
Yeah.
I remember at one point in time, he had all three of them belts at the same time, and he wasn't even a year in yet. But he was the main champion at SWF. It was understandable why he wasn't the main champion at ASW because he wasn't there every week. Because he was, like, rotating. Whatever week he wasn't at Rockin' City, he was using the rotation week for ASW. So it was understandable why they threw the mid-card belt on him and not the main belt. That's understandable. Why did Barry not throw the main belt on Luther X? I don't know. I'm not even going to go into that.
There's a whole situation with me in particular. Certain people, and I'm not naming on that. I'm not saying like Barry specifically or anybody. I'm just saying I know for a fact that there are people in this area who don't like it when I speak. They just don't like it. They hate that I have a platform. They hate that I talk about certain shit on my platform. They just don't like it. And, you know, like that was like I said earlier, and I've said it a million times before, I don't have to be in the conversation to know that I'm in the conversation. I already know that certain people are having discussions about, you know, I know that this big project has gotten to a few ears and they've specifically tried to make some moves to get my attention. Not that I feel like I'm that important, you know what I'm saying? But You can just tell. You can just tell when people are trying to get under your skin. You can tell when people are trying to outmaneuver you and trying to outdo things that, you know what I'm saying? But my whole thing, at the end of the day, my basic philosophy is I just want to see my people get put on. And right. I don't feel like y'all are doing a good enough job putting these people on.
And there's a lot of promotions that's like that. There's a lot of promotions that's like that. Oh, yeah.
They'll never actually say it. It is
insane.
They'll never actually say it, of course, because it's just not, it's not a good thing to say these days. But I can look at you, I can look at you and tell that you only want a certain kind of, you know, a certain kind of flavor. A lot of these places only like a certain type of black wrestler. They only want to fit and accept. And my thing is, there are so many different types of black wrestlers. You, Luther, Trevor, Towers, Aaron Black, Eric Silva, Alex Kane. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many. Big Smooth. There's so many different types of black wrestlers in this area. That's why it just blows my mind. And I have to ask. I ask myself almost every week when I'm looking at these cards, like, so no black people, just not one. There's no black
person. Not one.
Person
so, in, so not one.
Not one.
Right.
All these different black people in this area, not one. You could not find not one black person. Okay, cool, whatever. That's on you. You know what I'm saying? That's and if your crowd does not mind, so be. I'm not here to ruffle no feathers. I'm not here to get up under nobody's skin with the way that I think and the way that I view things. But what I am going to do is leave the business in a better place than where I found it. The bar is not very high. You know what I'm saying?
It's really not. And we want wrestling to be better than the way that we found it. So when we leave wrestling, we want everybody to be able to come in wrestling and fit right in.
Right.
We want everybody to come in and fit right in. We had handicaps come in wrestling and be comfortable and feel welcome before everybody else. And that's wild. Nothing against handicapped people. The Zach Gowan story, I love that story. But damn.
But God damn,
it's
man.
Just crazy that you have to sit back and actually think about it, though. You know what I'm saying? Because these things, like I said, they're moments, but they should just be the norm. Why would I not? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to try to fit some quota by just hire, by booking somebody just because they're handicapped. But if this if I like this person and I think this person can do good and they happen to be handicapped, cool. I keep saying it, and I'm trying to toe a little line because I got a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes. Trust me, I have seen people work against diversity in this business. They will never tell you, and I'm not going to call them out. I've learned my lesson about trying to call people out. But there are people, especially in the Southeast, who are actively working against diversity. That's why I got to the point where I said, I'm not going to ask anymore. I'm just going to do something about it. I'm going to do as much as I can. That's why I have this podcast. That's why I'm working on all these other projects and trying to have a place where all of us can be just who we are. We don't have to worry about walking in and being worried. And like you said, being the only black person in the room. Like I'm telling you, even working for the promotion that I worked for, that everyone knows me and Tevin worked for, you will not believe the amount of times a black person walked through the door and came straight to me and Tevin and said, man, I didn't think I was going to see no other black people here. And y'all worked.
I might have been one of them.
Yeah, not even wrestlers, like fans too. There was a guy, God, I wish, oh, I'm so upset I can't remember his name. But he came, you know, he very clearly black, but he was with a white girl and she had her kids who were very clearly white. But he came in and he seen us and came straight to where we were sitting. And he said, man, I honestly didn't think I was going to see no black people here. Like, I thought I was going to be the only black person. And then he happened to see the microphones and stuff in front of us. And he was like, oh, y'all work this show? And we were like, yeah, you know, we ring announce and, you know, film and do all that. And he was like in awe. And I'm pretty sure this dude was like 30 years old at the time. And he was in awe that he seen two black men working a wrestling show. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. And it's things like that. Like, for example, there were people who were hitting me up when me, Seen, Nick, and Tevin were hosting that adult show that happened up at UConn Jacks when we were hosting After Hours. There were people who hit me up privately and was like, man, I'm just so proud of you because you black and you gay and you do, like, you making all these moves. I'm so proud of you for doing this. And so that's what, like, that's those, that moment to me, and those moments in particular are the moments that make me say, okay, I have to keep going. I cannot stop. I cannot not do, you know what I'm saying? Because there are people out here who are watching me that I don't even know are watching me. But they're watching. And so maybe I won't get to where I want to be. But as long as I can open the door for somebody to come behind me and say, you know what I'm saying? Like, as long as I can open the door for another black man or for another gay man to come behind me and start a podcast and be successful, or, you know, all these other projects, maybe they want to step into that world and, you know, they're successful in that. I'm good with that. I don't have to have it all at the end of the day, but one thing is for sure, two things are for certain. I'm going to do everything in my power to get these people that I see not being represented properly, not getting any platforms, knowing that they're good. I'm going to do everything that I can possibly to get y'all where I hope to see y'all. Wherever that is.
Hell yeah, man. I appreciate that, man. Because, like, I'll give, like, the weekday shows a pass because it's weekdays and most indie wrestlers have a job. Like, EWA, for example. I love EWA. I want to bring some homies to EWA. It's just, but they work during the week. So they're like, damn, we want to do it, but we can't. I want to get Smooth there. Smooth's like, I'm going to have to leave work early. I was like, all right. Averson up. Same thing with him. A couple other people. I have to leave work early or I have to know 2 weeks in advance. I'm like, damn. EWA, I'll give them a pass. Because it's like they do diversity. They bring in black people. And it's that's just, why I but they're said, only limited to it because it's on a Wednesday.
That's why I said what I said when I went on my little rant. Like, people are going to think I'm talking about EWA. I'm not. Because I was at EWA for, like, what, 9 or 10 months. I got to help directly with creative. I got to see how all that happened. I know for a fact that before I left, I don't know about after I left, but before I left, when me and Tevin were working that show, there was commitment to trying to bring in a more diverse roster. There was a commitment to it because we were asked, who should we bring in? And when we suggested people, typically it was black people, there was excitement about trying to bring people in. You know what I'm saying? The whole reason it, and I ain't trying to toot my own horn, but the whole reason Lala showed up at EWA was because I put that over. I was talking to the bookers directly. I was like, yo, who the fuck do we have to, like, I'm talking to you directly, Mr. Booker, because I want you to know that I want this person in EWA. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want this black woman in EWA. And it was, and it happened. So that's why I tried to put that out there. People are going to think they know who I'm talking about because I say I worked for this company. EWA was not the only company I worked for. So some people got to.
I even know you wasn't talking about EWA because it's like when I was at EWA, I was having a blast. It sucks I can't be there now because I live all the way in Georgia. That's like 3.5 hours away, and the show's on Wednesday, and I have a day job. If I was still living in Birmingham, shoot, I'll be there every Wednesday. Because at one point in time, I was there every Wednesday when I was staying in Birmingham. It was a blast. And I was going to try to get some of the homies that live in Birmingham to carpool with me. Get Smooth, Averson.
Oh, but believe Tucson, you me.
Brandon Cash. Man.
Believe you me, bro. When me and Tevin were there, if there were any black wrestlers in Alabama or Tennessee that we knew about, we were trying. At one point, it honestly looked like EWA was going to end up being an all-black show at the rate me and Tevin were going. Because we just kept suggesting black people. You know what I'm saying? And it was always, it's the same thing I do today. It's the same thing me and Tevin privately talk about. We want to showcase the black people. And we don't think that a lot of, Pro South does a fantastic job. UConn does a fantastic job. But this was also at the time, I still don't think UConn films his matches. And, you know, so really all we had as far as, like, diverse promotions was Pro South. So when it came down to it, and, you know, me and Tevin, we have this platform, we have the opportunity to talk to the bookers and say who, you know, what we think would be best and who we think you should bring in. And that's all credit to the people that we worked with, from Potts on down. Everybody that we worked with at EWA accepted us, accepted what we had, accepted our input, and really tried to make it work. You know what I'm saying? I mentioned Lala coming in. I think the very next week, Lala just happened to reach out to us. And, of course, I was running the social media. So it was like, oh, shit. No, yeah, like, we're going to make this shit happen somehow. And boom, Lala was there. So, but
yeah, I remember that. I was there for her debut.
Yeah, but even then, that's like think about that. Like, we talk about people being booked on the show and being in front of the camera. Think about how important it is to have people behind the camera too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
With me,
every piece of a wrestling show is important, from the ring crew to the wrestlers, to the referees, to the camera folks, to the commentary team, to the ring announcers, to the people that's running production. Every piece of a wrestling show is important. That includes the concession stand too. Everybody Every connected dot to a wrestling show is important. I don't care what nobody say. Take away the concession stand and see what happens. You're not getting that extra input.
Right.
Okay. Take away the ring announcer. It's going to be weird. Take away the production team. Who's going to run music? Who's going to run sound? We're going to come out to nothing. Take away the referee. It's all chaos. You know, every piece to a wrestling show, everybody from the head nigga in charge all the way down to the trainees that's paying dues, that's putting in work. Every piece is important. There is nobody more important when it comes to wrestling production, period.
My friend, you and I have been talking for over 2 hours. I want you to know. And
yeah, I see that. I was enjoying it, so I wasn't going to say shit.
No, I mean, I am too. Like, I could probably talk to you for another 6-7 hours straight about all this shit. But, you know, life is life. Things, you know, whatever. But we're definitely, this interview is probably going to be a two-part interview. So that is what it is. People will be okay. Cause I enjoy talking to you. And I know you got, you know, good conversation, and we always have good conversation when we're able to talk. That, ladies and gentlemen, wraps up part two of my interview with Brandon Whatley. Next up, part three, the big finale of my interview with Brandon. Be sure to follow the podcast wherever you are currently listening to it. Be sure to follow me on social media at Mr. Jordan McClain, and check the show notes and make sure you're following Brandon Whatley as well. Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. I appreciate it with all of my heart. You could have listened to anybody, but you chose me. Thank you guys.